From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Don't Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
West Coast running out of puff has given a good account of himself, but Accelerate keeps powering on. Accelerate 2.5 lengths coming away to beat West Coast and Isotherm.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
Mendelssohn is on the inside. Diversify is given way. Here comes the finish. It is going to be a photo finish, and I think it was Discreet Lover. Manny Franco waves his whip in victory. Thundersnow is right there on the wire, too.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. And welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. The Entry Mates, back together again in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. And happy to have you with us on this first Saturday in the month of October 2018, which means we are edging ever closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs in early November, coming your way November 2nd and 3rd. And in case you're wondering, and I know you are, JT, 27 days, 7 hours, 19 minutes until the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it won't be long now, said the girl to the sailor.
No, definitely won't.
Yeah, definitely won't. Yeah, it's amazing how fast it's gone. You know, we started really talking about the Breeders' Cup during Saratoga, and now it's
at Belmont.
Almost here.
Really at Belmont, when we started talking about all the big win in your ends, Belmont Stakes Day, right?
It yeah.
Started to heat up, and you had all those big races, and then it's funny, you get past the Triple Crown in this sport. You kind of have two seasons, right? You have right. The Triple Crown season with the three-year-olds, and then you have the road to the Breeders' Cup season where all the divisions start to get involved. And you're right. We say the same thing about the road to the Kentucky Derby, right? You and I start on that road, gosh, I guess with races like the Fountain of Youth Stakes and Holy Bull Stakes even before that down at Gulfstream. And before you know it, we're sitting here on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, well, that one really starts with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile,
yeah,
right?
Right, yeah.
And then goes from there. So it's, yeah, it's never ending, but it's intriguing all the while. And we got treated yesterday to two magnificent races at Keeneland. Promises fulfilled, going wire to wire in the Phoenix and showing a lot of grit and determination in there. And Restless Rider, super impressive, winning the Alcibiades for Kenny McPeak and his clients. So just a really good time of year. Some excellent racing today and tomorrow. Going to be fun.
Yeah, 16 Breeders' Cup Challenge races to be contested over the course of the next 2 days. You have 7 of those taking place right here in the Bluegrass at Keeneland on this opening weekend of their fall meet. 7 here at Keeneland, 4 at Belmont in New York, 2 out at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California, and then 3 winning your in races taking place in France at Longchamp. So 16 in total. Jude mentioned the 2 that we saw yesterday. And let's start for just a minute, Jude, talking about those 2 races yesterday. Restless Rider, you mentioned how impressive she was. She's now 3-for-4 lifetime. And this juvenile filly, I have to think that she has to be the favorite now for the juvenile fillies, especially the way she won yesterday, being so stylish in that victory.
Yeah, she was hammered at the windows yesterday.
She was.
I think she went off at 6-5, and she ran like it. The race was pretty much never in doubt. If you knew anything about her or keyed on her during the running, she had a good trip, but she makes her own luck, and Brian Hernandez Jr. did a great job with her. I don't know at this point if there's anybody that's as seasoned and talented as she is.
No, and for trainer Ken McPeak, a native of Lexington, that's 4 wins in the Darley Alcibiades for Kenny. Restless Rider joins She's the Devil Do, Take Charge Lady, and Dream Empress as winners saddled by Kenny McPeak, and we'll see if she can continue this momentum and pull off a victory in the juvenile fillies at Churchill in just about a month. How about the Breeders' Cup Sprint win in your end? The Grade 2 Phoenix, which went to Promises Fulfilled. Dale Roman's the trainer. Luis Saez, you mentioned the wire-to-wire victory, but the aspect that really stood out to me here was that gritty determination where he had a couple of pretty good horses running at him from behind, including the defending champ Whitmore, who he just absolutely would not let by.
Yeah, well, Whitmore just tried as hard as he could, but
yeah.
It was a 5-horse field. Whitmore was taken out of his game by having to press in order to have a chance to win. Whitmore did everything he could possibly do
yep.
to win the race. And you know, it was just one of those situations that did not favor Whitmore. The horse that had the horrid trip was Limousine Liberal.
Terrible.
I mean,
in a 5-horse field, you can find trouble. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Delahousie always told me that.
yeah. Limousine Liberal proved it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, he was running like a snake down the lane. There was no place for him to go. It was just brutal. I mean, my friend Ben Colebrook, he must be tearing his hair out this morning. Still, I mean, it's just tough when you run a really nice horse in a good race and you have a trip like that. But, you know, that might be good for horse players. He loves Churchill Downs.
He does.
And the Breeders' Cup Sprint, as far as I know, is going to be held at Churchill Downs. So,
yeah, take a look at Limousine Liberal. Don't cross him off your list.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was a heck of a race. And it was really a nice day at Keeneland yesterday.
Yeah, well, here's what's coming up this afternoon on the network. You'll want to make sure you join us for our exclusive race coverage from Keeneland. Jude and I will be positioned on the roof overlooking the stretch here in the Bluegrass.
Hopefully we don't jump.
We'll squeeze into our closet at Keeneland and try to bring you that coverage, but we're looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun and going to be an amazing afternoon. The coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern, and it will include the win-in-your-ins that are going to be held at Keeneland today. I believe there's 4 win-in-your-ins as part of our coverage. We're also going to bring you the win-in-your-in champagne from Belmont, which is the winner will punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That will all be part of that show, 4 to 6 Eastern. You can tune in on this very same Sirius XM channel, Sirius 219, XM 201, and of course on our affiliates, Lexington, Louisville, across the country, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And all of that coverage, by the way, presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence and Breeders' Cup. So massive weekend, and we're happy to bring it your way and happy to bring you all this coverage as we make our way down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it's long and winding, kind of like Limousine Liberal's trip yesterday.
I thought with so much great racing action taking place across the country this weekend, that the poll question, we would just keep it simple. And rather than giving people choices and different things to choose from today, we're going to keep it open. So we're going to give you the opportunity to be creative with your answers here. And here's what I want to know. Which horse, and it doesn't even have to be at Keeneland, doesn't have to be at Belmont or Santa Anita, it can be anywhere. Which horse are you most excited to bet on this weekend? That's it. Which horse are you most excited to bet on this weekend? Let us know. You can weigh in on that poll question at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And I asked that question because I could use a winner. I could really use a winner.
Oh, okay.
So I'm hoping the HRN Nation can help me out here and give me a winner or
there
two.
There you go. Well, whatever you do, don't bet on any of their horses. You'll jinx them.
Mush. Eddie Mush.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the poll question. Make sure you weigh in, and we'll try to read some of those responses as we move throughout the show. Going to be a busy program. Jim Goodman is going to join us. He's the director of simulcast operations at Keeneland. He's going to join us coming up after our first commercial break in just about 5 minutes from right now. NBC's Nick Luck will be with us at 8:37 Eastern to talk a little more Breeders' Cup. John Gasper and Steve Castagnola, a duo of handicapping experts, are going to look at all the big races with Jude and I in the second half of the program. That's the full hour from 9 to 10. We will handicap the races at Keeneland, at Belmont, and maybe even take a look at the races at Santa Anita this weekend if we have time, but at least Keeneland and Belmont on this Saturday afternoon. So stay tuned for that with Steve Castagnola and John Gasper. Also, our Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales comes your way in this first hour of the program. Pat Costello from Paramount will call in to talk with us about tomorrow's Spinster Stakes at Keeneland, which is also going to be aired live on the network tomorrow afternoon. You can tune into that coverage 5 to 6 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of action this weekend and a lot of action on the show this morning.
Yeah, it's an action-packed weekend, not only in the United States, but France, too.
Yep.
ARC weekend, big deal over there, and wish I was there.
It would be fun. Let's go ahead and get to that first break. We'll come back with Jim Goodman from Keeneland. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Tom's Ready, a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Sire of Sires More Than Ready. As a 3-year-old, Tom's Ready scored in the prestigious Grade 2 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont and defeated champion Run Happy in the Grade 3 ACAC at Churchill Downs before winning the Grade 3 Bold Ruler at 4, earning a 107 buyer, the co-fastest buyer at 7 furlongs in 2017. Tom's Ready, new for 2018 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Boston Harbor, who heads for home with the three-length lead, but here comes Acceptable trying to mow him down with a furlong to go. On the inside, it's Cash Deposit. It is Boston Harbor tenaciously trying to fight off Acceptable as they come down to the line. Boston Harbor digs down deep, and yes, he would not be denied a championship. It is Boston Harbor, the winner, by a head over Acceptable. Farther back, Ordway finishes third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on this Saturday morning. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Tom Durkin had the call of the 1996 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Thought we'd turn back the clock a little for you there with that rejoin clip. Boston Harbor getting the victory for trainer Dwayne Lucas. Boston Harbor also a winner of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland before going on to win the Breeders' Cup that year. Favorite Trick would follow in his footsteps in 1997, pulling off the victory in both the Breeders' Futurity and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Of course, he would go on to be named Horse of the Year as a two-year-old that year. Favorite Trick, the last to pull off the double of winning the Breeders' Futurity and the Breeders' Cup. So we'll see the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So we'll see if this year's winner can do it. And to help us figure out everything that's happening at Keeneland this weekend and some of the new initiatives that you can look forward to seeing when you come out to the races, let's welcome in Jim Goodman, who is the Director of Simulcast Operations here in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. Jim, welcome, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How are you, Jude?
Good, good.
Yeah, things are good. Happy opening weekend.
Yeah, it was. It felt like New Orleans more than Lexington yesterday. It was like 86 degrees with a 93 degrees heat index. So it's a beautiful weekend in the Bluegrass. Today's supposed to be good. Turf ought to dry out today, so we're looking forward to another huge day today.
Yeah, it should be a carbon copy of what we saw yesterday in terms of the weather. 15 degrees or so above normal for this time of year. It doesn't feel like a fall stars weekend. It feels like a summer stars weekend, doesn't it?
It does. The horses did okay yesterday. I was a little worried. They were, Kenny was saddling his horses in the shade and back in the saddling stalls and taking every precaution because it was unusual yesterday. We're used to having a little bit of breeze and a little bit of cool weather this time in October, but it didn't happen this weekend. Can't complain, though. Not much rain. We got 4 inches of rain night before last, and that made the turf course soft yesterday, and I think it affected the way the races were run. It seemed like speed did really well yesterday on the turf course.
Yeah, and the main track was remarkably in great shape. I mean, I was out there in the morning, and the horsemen were all very pleased with the surface and how it was playing, how the horses were working. It didn't seem like there was a drop of moisture in the track. The track crew did just an amazing job. I was really impressed by that. And, I've seen a lot of racetracks in my life, but that was quite a deal because the storm we had was ridiculous with the thunder, the lightning, the rain, and it was relentless for a couple of hours.
Yeah, our guys did a great job with the track, but one of the things that's a holdover from the old Polytrack days is the drainage system underneath that track is incredible. And when we put the dirt back in a couple years ago, or 3 years ago now, we added drainage on each side, and there's a small crown in the middle of the track. It is amazing how that track drains, and I thought it was very fair yesterday. I think some of the early races seemed to favor speed, but I thought it was a fair racetrack.
Jim, no doubt when folks come out today, it's going to be a massive crowd at Keeneland because of the beautiful weather that we are supposed to have here on this Saturday afternoon. But when they come out, they're going to see some different things. There are some different initiatives that Keeneland has really placed an emphasis on this year, which kind of pertain to the fan development arena in the sport. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think we look at things a little bit differently here at Keeneland. We've got a different type of clientele. We've got a lot of people. You guys have been out here for a lot of years, and a lot of younger people, a lot of college kids. And it's one of the big challenges that racing has is getting those people engaged in racing. And we've done a couple of things this year. We did some strategic planning with Krista Marilla, our marketing chief, and her staff. And we're doing some things with trying to capture those fans on site. They've got traditions, the way they want to do things. You know, you've got a group of people come out, and some go to the hill and tailgate, some go to the paddocks and hang out, and some go to the north gate. Well, we're going to try to move people to them. We've got a Betology program that's been in place for about 6 or 7 years. And if you've ever gone to Keeneland, you've seen all the young guys and young women in fedoras and green bow ties and say, I can help you bet. And we're taking them to the crowd now. We're doing what's called pop-up Betology. We've got a portable stage, and we'll just maybe before the fourth or fifth race, we'll go out in the paddock and put that guy up with a portable mic and just do a little handicapping seminar. So we're trying to get a little bit of fun involved. We're doing something at the hill with the Betologists. We've got something called a Betmobile, not the Batmobile. Alfred's not driving it, but our Betologists are driving it. So it's pretty cool, and America's Best Racing is covering that for us this weekend. You'll see some video footage there online, I think. And it's just a cool thing to try to bring a fun experience to the fans. One of the hardest things to do is get the new fan to look at a program or look at a racing form. They're used to that instant gratification from the phone, and it's a real struggle for us to do that. But we're trying to push that out to our people and try to make sure that they know how to wager.
Yeah, well, that it's important. You know, a lot of people are intimidated by going to the window and they don't know how to call out a bet or whatever. And I think that, like, the mobile mutual clerks always help with that. They're explanatory and seem a little bit more approachable, maybe, than somebody sitting behind a cage, so to speak. But the mobile, Bettologists, they do such a great job. And I've been with them on several occasions in the Phoenix Room and other places. And they really go out of their way to help people. And it really comes in handy because a lot of times when I'm doing groups upstairs, people don't know how to bet. And I help the people that I'm hosting. But the Bettologists help them too, and it really lightens the load because a lot of times people are making their first visit to Keeneland. I mean, Keeneland's kind of a bucket list place for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, and they don't necessarily subscribe to the hardened horse player theory, you know, that you might get in the Lexington, Kentucky room or some of the other rooms at Keeneland where everybody's really into the track, you know. So it's really a fantastic option, and the people that you've hired to do that really have a good grasp of the game.
Yeah, they relate well to the customers here, and we try to get a mix. We've got some older retired gentlemen and women, but we've got a lot of young kids, a lot of college kids that will go up to people and maybe we take the initiative. One of the other things we did, and yesterday is a good example, Jude. We do something called 101 and 201 Bettology at Wagering Central, which is right underneath the grandstand in front of the big video screen, and I had one of my Bettologists do one.
It's not just about standing up there and picking horses for people to bet on, as you would get in a lot of handicapping seminars. It's more about being there to answer questions for people and to educate people on how to go about placing a wager, how to go about deciphering certain things in the program, whatever it might be. They're there to answer your questions and to help. And Jim, I know that if somebody brings a group to Keeneland, they can actually book a Bettologist to be there for them throughout the afternoon. Is that true too?
Yeah, that's correct. If we take a group, and Jude mentioned the Phoenix Room, which is one of our casual dining rooms on the fourth floor with about 500 people. What we do is when a group of at least 10 people makes a reservation, we shoot them an email and say, if you'd like a Bettologist, give us an email back and we'll get somebody there for a 10, 15, 20-minute seminar, help you answer questions for one thing and help them get to the window, because you get a lot of people in those casual dining rooms that are not accustomed to wagering. And just like Jude said, they are intimidated when they go to the window. So we can book those Bettologists, and it doesn't cost anything. It's one of those things that we do for the fans, and it's been very successful. I've got Bettologists scheduled for groups every single day of the race meet.
Yeah, it's a fantastic program. I noticed Wagering Central has really expanded. You've got a much bigger layout there than you used to have.
Yeah, it started out as a kind of a simple concept. We also do Keeneland Today there at 11:30 with our TV host. We're doing that on CKYT in Lexington, and also on TVG. So we're doing that at 11:30, then we switch over to the Bettology 101 and 201. And then throughout the day, that's kind of our center to handle our Keeneland Select customers, anybody who's got a question. And it has a lot bigger footprint, but it's a very prominent area there. And it's been very successful with one area where all of our guest service people, all the green jacket people, can push people to say, if you've got a question about wagering, go to Wagering Central. So it's worked really well for us.
Visiting with Keeneland's Director of Simulcast Operations, Jim Goodman, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, about a minute or so left before we have to get to our next break here on the show, but I do want to give you an opportunity to talk about a couple of the partners who have been an integral part in helping to take this program forward, meaning Equestricon and Daily Racing Form. They're partners of ours here on the network as well, and I know you've done a lot of great things in conjunction with them, too.
We're glad to talk about them. Equestricon, it's the second annual. They did it at Saratoga last year. This year it's being done in conjunction with the Breeders' Cup. So it's the week after we close and the week prior to Breeders' Cup. We're the official partner of fan development for Equestricon, and we're excited to bring Wagering Central on the road. So we're going to take our Wagering Central, build a new set up there in the convention center in Louisville. It's another thing that we got to do. Fan development is very important to us, and that's why we're the official partner of fan development for Equestricon. And we'll take Bettologists up there. They're going to bring a lot of wagering contents. We're going to have expert handicappers. I think we're even going to have bread pudding up there. So people that come by get a taste of Keeneland with bread pudding. One of the things that you got to do when you come to Keeneland. So we're going to take that to Louisville and show them what Keeneland is like. And the other partnership is Daily Racing Form. We've worked with them to develop materials that can teach intermediate fans how to read and use a racing form. The goal is to use the DRF as a tool to continue to engage the intermediate better. They are also joining us. My 201 Betology today is called Play Like a Player, and one of the Daily Racing Form guys, I don't know if it's Marty McGee or one of the other gentlemen, that's going to help me do that. So we're partnering with Daily Racing Form. They're providing us materials, and they're a great partner for us. They're engaged just like we are, trying to get the fans involved.
Jim, you left out the biggest selling point of that bread pudding. It's a bourbon bread pudding, isn't it?
It is bourbon. It is Maker's Mark bourbon bread pudding.
Yeah.
It is. So it's got to put a lot of sauce on it. It sells itself here. We have a hard time keeping up with the bread pudding demand.
All right, Jim Goodman, Director of Simulcast Operations at Keeneland. Like all of our guests, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Jim, appreciate the visit. Go enjoy this Fall Stars weekend, and all the best with this Fall Stars and with this entire October meet.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate the help, and have a great weekend here at Keeneland.
Right. Thanks.
You know, in a sport that often gets criticized for being stagnant and set in its ways and not wanting to change, this is really refreshing to see a racetrack taking that initiative and saying, okay, we're going to do something a little bit different. It may flop. It might not work, bringing people out there to interrupt people's tailgate or whatever, right? To me, I think it's a brilliant idea, and I think it's worth a shot.
No, absolutely. You know, and Keeneland has a rich history of innovation, believe it or not. a lot of people think Keeneland is, you know, kind of a staid place, set in its ways.
Because of all the history and tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the first all betting and cashing windows were at Keeneland. There's so many different things that Keeneland has started and has continued on, in their quest to be the industry leader and lots of developments at Keeneland. So it's not surprising that now that they're in the fan development business, they're going all in.
Well, Keeneland, not the only place with great racing here in the month of October. The 81st running of the Pattison Canadian International is less than 2 weeks away. On Saturday, October 13th, Woodbine will feature some of the most prestigious turf and stakes races, including the $125,000 Grade 3 Ontario Derby, the Grade 2 New Arctic Stakes, the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor, and the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International. All of those coming your way Saturday, October 13th. And you'll want to be sure to take advantage of large guaranteed pools in the Pick 4s and Pick 5s, plus a special cross-country wager with Woodbine and Keeneland. That's all Saturday, October 13th, Pattison Canadian International Day. For more information, just visit woodbine.com. All right, this is typically the time when we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but because it is a busy morning and a jam-packed show, and because Pat Costello from Paramount Sales is going to join us next for our Philly Focus segment, and Nick Luck, NBC analyst, will be with us around 8:37. We're going to bypass the story portion of this Legends of the Turf, but we'll tell you about the Lexus store of Lexington and encourage you to go visit Tony Attiano, the Godfather, all the great folks at the Lexus store when you're in town. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, doesn't matter. They are the dealership and have been for more than a decade, the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. Go see them. You tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello. We're back with more on the Equine Forum right after this.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
All right, we got a brand new wheats up here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat sub. It's going once, going twice. Sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner, Shaman Ghost, will stand the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queens Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost, he has won the Woodward!
Midnight Storm leading halfway down the stretch in the big cap. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Edina, standing in Kentucky in 2019 and available for inspection now.
Racing fans, join us for world-class racing over the three-day holiday weekend at Santa Anita and play the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 with a $1 million jackpot pool guaranteed this Saturday and Sunday. Our main event on Saturday is the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship, and we'll also have a $100,000 speakeasy for two-year-olds at 5 furlongs on turf in the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile. First post time all weekend is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Coming to the top of the lane now, and it is Take Charge Brandy. Take Charge Brandy now going clear as they turn for home. Leads it by 3 lengths. Take Charge Brandy. Feathered is coming after them. Danette is running a huge one along the inside. Wanda Gal is in with a shot too. Homeward bound now. Take Charge Brandy holding on gamely to this lead. Danette trying to sneak through at the rail. Feathered on the outside. A late run now from Top Dessel, but it's going to be Take Charge Brandy. Take Charge Brandy in a stunner. Take Charge Brandy. Top Dessel behind that came Wanda Gal, Feathered, and Danette.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on this first Saturday in the month of October 2018. Happy to have you back with us on the program. Trevor Denman with the call of the 2014 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, Take Charge Brandy, getting the victory that afternoon. Take Charge Brandy, going through the Paramount Sales Program, and that's appropriate because we welcome in the man who is the founder of Paramount Sales, that is Pat Costello, for this Philly Focus segment, and it's all presented by our friends at Paramount. Pat, welcome, my friend.
Good morning to you guys. How are you doing?
Good morning. How's that trip down memory lane for you with Take Charge Brandy?
Fantastic. Yeah, no, she was a great filly, and it was a pleasure and an honor to have sold her at the sales as a yearling. Yep.
What kind of a baby was she? Do you remember?
She was all quality. She had plenty of leg under her, very correct. She just oozed class even as a yearling, you know. She was very sweet and lots of quality to her, I think.
Yeah, she had a great presence about her.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, them kind of horses, when you sell them kind of horses, it's you could tie them up to a tree and sell them, you know, to stay.
Same on help that way.
Yeah.
For people that don't understand how that side of the business works, Pat, you sell a filly, you hope they're going to be good. You don't know that she's going to turn into a champion like Take Charge Brandy did, but as you're watching her develop throughout her career, and she's winning bigger and bigger races, and then she jumps up and wins a grade one like the Juvenile Fillies, as the person who sold the horse, what's that like going along that ride?
Well, it's again, as I said, an honor, but it's so tough to do. And as the breeder of them animals, that is so. You have to remember, a lot of these people don't have huge, big broodmare bands, and to produce a grade one winner or champion out of a mare that you own yourself, it's like a chance in a lifetime, and it changes a lot of people's lives, I think, you know. It's awfully exciting.
Do your people that you sell for regularly, do they, you know, celebrate when you have a big winner? Do they, you know, send you texts and go crazy because you're
and likewise we're so excited for them as well, you know, because we can always hang it up that we did sell these horses, but for the breeder, we're so excited for them and for their mare. Yeah, without a doubt.
That's great. It's like one big happy family, a kind of a team effort.
Yes. You know, Judah, you know well how hard it is to get a good one, so when they do come along, it's that makes it that much more exciting, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of good grade one races, there's a pretty darn good one at Keeneland tomorrow. It's the grade one Judmont Spinster, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Distaff Division. The winner punching their ticket to that race in the Breeders' Cup. Big field of 11, too, Pat. How'd you see that one?
Well, it's an exciting race. Again, Keeneland is such an exciting place, and hopefully I'll be there. Can Kenny McPeak do two grade ones in a weekend?
It's possible.
I like Eskimo Kisses a lot. And what do you guys think?
Yeah, she's tough. I mean, she comes out of that big win in the Alabama. She now faces older horses for the first time, but JT, she looks like she has the right running style. If she can get some pace in front of her, she'll be running at the end.
Yeah, she needs some pace help, but her last race was excellent. The Alabama, overwhelming victory, really. And she looks good. I'll be rooting for my man Ignacio Correas IV with Blue Prize. She's a very nice filly too, and she's got some good tactical speed. She'll be in front of the other one early on. So,
what about Talk Verve to me? She looks tough as well. I mean, it's a fantastic race, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure that you'll have your eye on a few of these, maybe as future sales prospects, Pat?
Yes, that's one part of our business is to key in on some of these fillies and Fasic Tipton coming up, and Keeneland are coming up, is going to be, after the sales season in September, is going to be really strong on these kinds of fillies, you know? It's an exciting time in the horse business right now.
Yeah, it is an exciting time at Paramount Sales as well. Pat Costello with us here for this Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount. Pat, really appreciate the visit. We're going to encourage people to head over to your website, paramountsales.net. They can learn more about your November consignment, and every time you go to the sales, they can learn more about your consignments there on your website. So appreciate the visit and continued success, my friend.
Thank you, lads. Thank you very much, and great show.
All right, Pat Costello here on HRRN. Well, that brings us to our next guest, who is here in studio with us, NBC analyst Nick Luck. Nice enough to stop by on a Saturday morning, and we're going to talk a lot about all the win-and-you're-in races here domestically over the course of the second half of the program with John Gasper and Steve Castagnola. But we thought Nick could fill us in on what's happening overseas, so nice enough to swing by. Good morning, my friend.
So much. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. There's so much going on overseas at the moment, it's hard to get a handle on. I'm trying to wake up early to watch racing in Australia and then keep an eye on what's happening at Longchamp this weekend, and then onto all the winning year in races here, but it's a fabulous weekend of racing across three continents.
Australia, a little horse named Winx won as most people were sleeping here in the United States last night.
Absolutely amazing. 28 straight victories, 21 of them in Grade 1 company. I was calculating she'd won somewhere in the region of $14 million. And people say, well, why isn't she ever going to race outside Australia? There's no incentive for her to race outside Australia. There's no money on the table. Nobody's had enough enterprise, I think, to try and lure her. Royal Ascot had a good go. They didn't quite pull it off. And that's out of her season anyway. So I can quite see why they've kept her at home. And she's running incredible races against the clock, even if the opposition is quite thin by international standards. What she's doing against the clock is remarkable. Even this morning, she got herself out of a really unpromising position with a burst of speed. She came home in 11 second furlongs, the last three furlongs. And any horse that can continue to do that at the age of seven, off that many lifetime starts, has got to be an all-time great. Amazing horse.
She's captured the hearts of so many people around the world. I mean, you know, when you see the Twitter feed in the morning of her races, you know, so many people have stayed up till 1 or 2 in the morning just to watch her run. You know, and that's a rarity in our business because everybody's stretched to the limits that works in racing, but a lot of people stay up to watch her races.
And I don't think anyone who lived through Black Caviar and enjoyed her string of extraordinary success would ever have believed that another Australian racehorse, let alone another filly or mare, would come along quite so soon and entirely eclipse her achievement. Yes, Black Caviar has that Royal Ascot win on her dance card, which was one of her most dramatic, but what Winx has done has been nothing short of extraordinary. And the way that Hugh Bowman rides her with what he describes as arrogance, but what we would describe as the confidence of a man who knows he's on one of the all-time greats, and the way she's been beautifully trained by Chris Waller, and the way he communicates exactly what she's doing to the public all the time has been an example to everybody. And I think it's been a really important week for Australian racing and for Australians showing the rest of the world in some respect how it's done, not just with the way that Winx has campaigned and the publicity that surrounds her, but also with this Everest sprint, which is based on the Pegasus. Let's give the Stronach Group credit for coming up with the idea in the first place, but it's an invitational race and you buy your way in and then there's a huge purse at the end of it. But the Everest in Australia has really captured the imagination. I don't know if you guys have seen the huge row that's ensued in Sydney between the lady who runs the Sydney Opera House.
The huge what?
Row.
The huge row.
Okay. Row.
Right. I'm Googling right now. Hold on.
Fracas. Nations divided by a common language.
What a great line that is.
You can catch more anglicised nonsense on NBC Sports during the course of this weekend. There was a huge fracas between the lady that runs the Sydney Opera House and Racing New South Wales, who made an agreement with a provisional agreement with the government down there to superimpose the barrier draw onto the side of the Opera House, and she's not having it. It may cost her her job, as she is a government appointee, and the government have decided that this is a good idea to have the Everest barrier draw superimposed for the world to see. And they're saying it's bringing hundreds of millions into the New South Wales economy this race.
Wow!
So. I'm not saying they have the best horses in the world, but the way that racing is administered, even just looking on from afar, it clearly still occupies a place closer to popular culture than either it does in Britain or in the United States.
Pretty much anywhere. I mean, national holiday, right? The first Tuesday in November. I mean, it's a place where people love their racing, and it's not just the big tracks. They got little places running on the beach and doing all kinds of things. It's a country that loves the sport. I mean, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, but we can, I think, still say that in terms of raw talent, they don't have the equine talent that you have here or that there is in Europe.
No, that's true.
Apart from Winx.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
But the fans have the enthusiasm for it.
Absolutely.
Regardless.
Absolutely.
Talking with NBC analyst Nick Luck here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, joining us in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. Nick, sticking with the theme of the European road to the Breeders' Cup, tomorrow, 3 win-in-your-in races at Longchamp and France. What are some of the main storylines to look for there?
Well, I think we need to start with the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, even though technically it's not a win-in-your-in part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge. It is going to be the race that has the most significant bearing on the Breeders' Cup. Because if Enable wins, her second consecutive arc, and she comes out of the arc well. I think we can realistically expect her swan song to be at Churchill Downs in the Breeders' Cup Turf. I don't think there'd be any point in her bringing her over just for the fillies race. I think they'd come over and try and be the first horse in a season to do the double of the arc and the Breeders' Cup Turf. Found did it, of course, another great filly, but in different seasons. And Enable, with due respect to Found, is a significantly superior animal to the one that she was. So I think that's the most significant storyline, and it's not inconceivable that one or two other horses out of the arc could come. We've got last year's defending Breeders' Cup champion, Talismanic. We've got last year's arc runner-up, Cloth of Stars. We've got Waldgeist, who beat them both last time, and all those three are trained by Andre Farb. We know what a great record he has in the Breeders' Cup. So it's going to have a significant bearing on what happens in a few weeks' time, whatever the result.
Which horses in Europe have been the most impressive to you so far this summer?
Well, Roaring Lion is the dominant 3-year-old in Europe this summer. He's won all three major 10 furlong Group 1 races, the Coral Eclipse, the Judmonton International, and the Irish Champion Stakes. All three of those races open to 3-year-olds and older horses. He's a 3-year-old, and he's beaten the older horses three times. So he looks a horse that takes his racing incredibly well. He's very tough. He's improving. He's a great testament to John Gosden's training skills, because at the beginning of the season, he ran a really indifferent race first out, and you thought, well, is he a bit of a twicer? Is he a little bit, not doggy, but does he have a few temperament issues? Does he really want to go through with it? And suddenly he looks like the most genuine horse in training. And add to that a killer turn of foot. He's the real deal. And Gosden's discussed the possibility of bringing him to the Breeders' Cup. He's got to go to Ascot to champion stakes 2 weeks from now. So he's going to have to pack it in a short space of time. But he's been the sort of story horse of the season. Alpha Centauri, she's been the other exceptional horse in Europe.
Yeah.
Sadly, she's retired.
Yeah.
You know, she knocked out four straight grade ones in unbelievably impressive fashion. Her performance against the clock and against good opposition at Ascot was probably, well, definitely the performance of the season so far. And it's just a great shame we won't see her again. But, you know, she came across the skyline like a bright, shining comet, but unfortunately fizzled out just as quickly.
Do you think John would turn Roaring Lion around that quick?
Might do. Yeah. He's a horse who's, I think, as I say, he's obviously got a great constitution, and I think his owners, Qatar Racing, have had a very good season. I think they're keen to run in one of the races on Champions Day, whether it's the Champion Stakes or, if the ground gets a bit softer, the mile race, the straight mile race, the Queen Elizabeth II, because they sponsor the whole card. And mm-hmm. their organization, Kipco, have pumped so much money into British racing and to the concept of this British Champion Series that they're almost compelled by their own generosity to run their own horse in it to support their own event, which is completely understandable. But I know that Sheikh Farhad is a huge fan of the Breeders' Cup as well. I know that he is fully intending to be at Churchill Downs. So it's entirely feasible that he could wheel back if he's sound enough to take in a race on Breeders' Cup Day, which could be any one of three, conceivably. The obvious one would be to go to the turf and stretch him out, because mile and a half around three bends, as Gosden has said, is not maybe as exacting as a stiff mile and a half in Europe. Or they could go to the Classic and be bold. Difficult for a Son of Kitten's Joy, but it's not impossible. And there's the possibility they could run him in the mile if that comes up light. But he'd be an intriguing addition to the event. If we got Roaring Lion and Enable at Churchill Downs, then the event would take would look completely different. I think the international profile of the Breeders' Cup would be completely different to what it's looking like right now.
In terms of the turf course at Churchill that many of those Europeans will be racing over when they come for the Breeders' Cup, is there a course in Europe that is somewhat comparable to that turf course at Churchill Downs that they're going to race over?
Not really, I don't think, Mike, because I don't think there are courses in Europe that have the same dimensions,
mm-hmm.
Nor really the same soil makeup. Although the one thing I always say when European horses come here to race on turf, I'd rather it didn't rain. Yeah, normally people say, well, if it rains, it's going to suit the Europeans. But they've come here because they want a consistent, sound surface. I remember Monmouth Park in 2007 when it was nearly a washout. Everyone said, oh, the Europeans will do okay on this soft turf. In fact, they ran deplorably.
Yeah,
because it was unlike any kind of surface they'd raced on before, because it was getting quite shifty on top and there was no real base to it. So yeah, I would rather it was a sound surface at Churchill.
today on NBC, I believe 4:30 Eastern time is when the coverage begins.
4:30 Eastern.
4:30 Eastern. And that's on the big NBC, not NBCSN. So fans can tune in 4:30 to 6 Eastern. You'll have coverage of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. You'll have the Shadwell Mile and a race from Belmont, too. You're going to have the Champagne?
Yes, we are. And then some racing from Belmont tomorrow as well. I think we're showing the Frisette tomorrow. And tomorrow also 4:30 on NBC, we are showing the Spinster and the Bourbon.
Yep.
And the Frisette and the Flower Bowl from Belmont. So it's a busy weekend. I think we'll also be showing a rerun of the Arc from Longchamp tomorrow. I think there are 18 Breeders' Cup Challenge races around the world this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that on NBC over the course of the 2 days, we can either show live or recorded 14 of the 18. Or something like that, I think. So that would be no mean achievement in 3 hours of television.
Yeah, it would certainly be ambitious. Again, it's all on NBC, 4:30 Eastern today and tomorrow. If you can't be in front of a television, we'll have you covered on the radio side. Our coverage this afternoon kicks off 4 Eastern, live from Keeneland, Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And then tomorrow, 5 to 6 Eastern, different Sirius XM channel, though. That's Sirius XM 93. So no excuses. You can watch them. You can listen to them. No excuses not to be up on the racing action on Fall Stars weekend.
Got it all covered.
Got it all covered. Yes, we do. Well done, my friend. Thanks for being here, Nick. Appreciate
it's a pleasure.
The visit. Yeah, and all the best with the coverage later today.
Thank you very much, guys. Really nice to see you. And yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, Nick Luck, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. We'll get to a break. We'll come back. Our industry star of the week is next, and then we'll get you set for a very, very busy second half of the program on the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first crop of Gainsway sired yearlings selling up to $1.35 million and a Keeneland September book one average of $498,000. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire with 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah. John Gasper, Steve Castagnola have made their way into the studio. They're going to be with you in just about 5 or 6 minutes to handicap all the big races this weekend, including the Win and You're In action at Keeneland and at Belmont Park. If we have time, we'll try to get to the Santa Anita races for you as well. But time now for your Industry Star of the Week segment, which is all presented by our good friend Stuart Morris. If you're going to be looking to buy a horse at any major sale, stop by the Stuart Morris consignment. Trust me, he has done yeoman's work with all of the horses that he has sold over the years and has had an awful lot of success recently. Head over there, the Stuart Morris consignment, one that you won't want to miss at all the major sales. Well, this week's Industry Star of the Week goes back to last weekend and the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup and an upset winner, Discreet Lover. His trainer, Uriah St. Louis, took the time to visit with Jude for a full hour on Trainer Talk this past week. And Uriah started by talking about what that moment was like at Belmont.
I still pinching myself. It's been so good. I mean, I've been on the phone talking to people I don't even never heard of. But it's been great. You know, the horse is doing fine. And if everything goes right, we will be there at the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. You were born in Trinidad. You lived there for 15 years, the first 15 years of your life. Who or what ignited your passion for thoroughbred racing?
My oldest sister, her name was Iva, and she introduced me to horses. I was about 5, 6 years of age, and she took me to the racetrack. It was the day after Christmas Day. They call it Boxing Day in Trinidad. And we got out to the racetrack, Queens Park Savannah, and fell in love with a gray horse. I saw this gray horse on the racetrack. And I'm like, ooh, I like this horse. And from that day on, I was hooked.
Well, do you always give the gray horses an extra look when you go to the sales?
Not really, because I had one or two of them, and there wasn't, I mean, they either real good or real bad. And I had one or two that wasn't that good. And I decided I wasn't going to buy none. And then one year we went to the sale, and my wife told me, she said, you know, you and gray horses don't get along. And I bought 3 or 4. And she was like, the first 4 horses you buy is all gray. And I said, well, it got to work out. And one or two of them turned out to be decent, and after that, I just got over it and say, you know something, if I'm going to buy it, I'm going to buy it.
That's right.
Look for pedigree and, you know, confirmation, and we go from there.
Yeah. So you moved to the United States in 1973. You were 15 years old, and you moved to Brooklyn. Talk about the difference between Caribbean life and life in Brooklyn. That's like two different extremes.
Night and day. I came in on a, you know, it was August 10th on the nighttime, and got off the plane, got to Brooklyn, and they were driving out to my sister's house, and I see, man, this place is lit up. And it's the middle of the night, and people, you know, like 10 o'clock in Trinidad, I'm sound asleep. 10 o'clock in the United States, everybody's awake in Brooklyn. You know? And I'm like, wow, this is a different lifestyle, but, you know, I went to school. I said I had a second chance in life to make it, and decided I was in high school. And while I was going to school, it had a racetrack about a mile and a half, 2 miles away from that school. And every day, classes finished at 2:15, and then I was on the track team. So we would run up to Aqueduct, bet the late daily double, and run back to finish our track stuff. And then when I finished high school, I went to a computer school for about 8 months. Then I got a job with a company named American Tote. And it was the best job I could have, because I was fixing the computers that sells the ticket. And all I did was, while I fix the computers, I get a paycheck, I bet horses. And my wife said, you train with a lot of money. Why you don't start figure out what's going on in this business instead of just spending your money? And I looked around and I saw a trainer in Oklahoma named Robert Hayes. And I called him up and I said, is there any way you could teach me how to become a trainer? He said, it's a lot of time. You got to have patience. And I said, I got a lot of time. I got patience. And we sold everything in Brooklyn. And we moved to Oklahoma. And my wife always takes chances with me. And we moved to Oklahoma. And Robert will show me every day what to do. And I started from the bottom and just kept going on. And we end up with Discreet Lover.
All right, that's Uriah St. Louis, the trainer of Discreet Lover, who upset the Jockey Club Gold Cup last Saturday at Belmont Park. And Jude, a fun visit with him. That's just an excerpt from that full hour visit. But you can tell from just that little bit that here's a guy that has a passion for the sport and just a love of the game.
Yeah, he really does. And he's got a really cool story. His wife, as he mentioned, takes shots with him. She's a registered nurse, and she's willing to do whatever to help him with his passion and his dream. And it was a great family victory when Discreet Lover won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. There was a fantastic little video that was out on Twitter. His daughter so excited and so proud of the horse and her father. It was a very touching little video. And he just loves the game, and he works, you know, he's a working guy. He doesn't spend a lot of time socializing or whatever. He said after the Gold Cup, I have to go to Parks. I got 23 horses to get out tomorrow. So there was no fancy dinner or anything. He said, maybe on Sunday we'll go to dinner, you know? And that's the kind of guy he is. He just works and loves the game, loves the sport. And he likes to bet too. He cashed a little ticket on his big horse.
Good for him. So, that's a big ticket. He didn't cash a little ticket. He cashed a big ticket on Discreet Lover. Yeah. And Uriah St. Louis, our industry star of the week in that segment, all presented by Stuart Morris. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Pause 10 seconds for station identification. When we come back, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, they're ready. They're in studio. They're pouring over the PPs, and we're going to handicap some races. That's next after we pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
It's Game Winner coming past the eighth pole, extending his advantage to more than a length over Rowayton. Gunmetal Grey is next. Game Winner. He's a habitual winner. He's the undefeated winner of the American Pharaoh.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Pavlik Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Pavlik Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. All right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, Penna and Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. A win and you're in weekend ahead. 18 Breeders' Cup Challenge races are going to be contested over the course of the weekend. Two of those were yesterday, so we have 16 more to come today and tomorrow. Many of those here at Keeneland, 7 as a matter of fact. You have 4 at Belmont, 2 at Santa Anita, and 3 tomorrow at Longchamp in France. So it's a huge, huge weekend. The Breeders' Cup World Championships coming your way November 2nd and 3rd at Churchill Downs. And now just 27 days, 6 hours, and 16 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup, and we'll be there all week long as your exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup schedule and Breeders' Cup schedule. It's all there for you at horseracingradio.net. JT, a busy first half of the show featured interviews with Jim Goodman from Keeneland, Nick Luck of NBC Sports, Pat Costolo, and then that piece from Uriah St. Louis. If people missed it, they can head back to our website, check out the podcast of this program and all of our shows right after we finish up here at 10 o'clock Eastern. But I threw out a poll question Right now, it is vying for the lamest poll question ever thrown out on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We asked people, which horse are you most excited to bet on this weekend? And there were no choices. You have to answer with a comment. Guess how many responses we've received?
I don't know.
That many.
Zero?
Zero. This might be the overall worst poll question I have ever come up with here on the show.
Hmm. That's odd.
Nobody's excited to bet on any horse this weekend. Hopefully John Gasper and Steve Castagnola are, because they're going to handicap the races for you this entire second half of the show. All the races at Keeneland, Belmont, we'll take a look at those too. Johnny Gasper, we've been doing this a long time, my friend, more than three decades, dating back to the mid-1980s, and welcome back. Here we go again.
Most of my adult life. So yeah, no, it's always fun. You know, things obviously have changed a lot since then. The technology obviously is, you guys have taken it to a, you know, whole new level than when I was doing it with Pete and
outside the racing office at Keeneland. Remember those days?
Right in that little corridor there. People are walking back and forth, and Pete's like, shh, can't hear. You know,
in between puffs of the cigarette.
Well, yeah, you had to kind of hold your breath there for a while. But anyway, you guys have done an outstanding job of taking this to the next level and then beyond, really. And who'd ever thought it ever got this far? But congratulations on that. And I'm just glad somebody said, well, you know, you're kind of looking old. I said, hey, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm glad I got a few wrinkles and gray hair, because there's a lot of them that don't have it.
Yeah,
didn't make it that far, you know. So I'll take it, you know. So, but anyways, no, it's good to be back, and hopefully we can give our audience a couple of winners today.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Michael Herner from Gainesway texted me this morning, couldn't make it to the program, but Steve Castagnola has. Stevie with Kempton Bloodstock. Stevie, good morning, bud.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was trying to figure out, John's got about 10 to 15 years on me, but I believe this is my 19th year doing this show. And I also was in the corridor at the racing office as the guy was coming by, waxing the floor and mopping and all kinds of stuff going on. So it has come a long way. Just on that point, I'm always very complimentary of the job you guys are doing. I might have found somebody who isn't quite as complimentary of your show. During the first week of the September sale, I have a hard time shutting my brain down at night. My body's exhausted. My mind wants to keep going. So I listen to this sleep hypnosis. And the sleep hypnosis goes a little something like this.
How soon is it possible for you to allow yourself to fully embrace the ideal, successful.
And so my two children are aware that I listen to this at night. On a Saturday morning, I was listening to your show on the radio in my kitchen while my 9-year-old was making herself some breakfast. She looked at me, she heard the show, looked at me, and she said, Dad, is that what you listen to when you're trying to go to sleep? So essentially, now I'm not saying that I do. I may have once. But I just found it interesting that my 9-year-old thought that your Saturday Equine Forum was my sleep hypnosis. Now, she was distracted and hungry, and she is 9, so I'm going to give her that benefit of the doubt.
Why do I have a bone to pick with her now? We must have had a guest on at that time, right? It had to be a guest.
Must have been.
Great story. Does that sleep stuff really help you? I mean, I'm out like a light for that 10 seconds right there. I had to kick myself.
It's the only thing that can help me.
There aren't many things that can. He's Stevie Castagnola. Again, John Gasper here with them, and we're going to take a look at all the big races. Guys, let's go ahead and start with this huge day at Keeneland. 4 win in your in races. I believe there's 5 graded stakes in total. Our coverage 4 to 6 Eastern this afternoon, Sirius 219, XM 201. Worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. The Grade 2 Woodford, race 6, field of 12, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Look, this has to be a crapshoot, right? 12 horses, 5.5 on the turf. Johnny, what do you think?
And I don't think the turf's going to be any different than it was yesterday, to be honest with you. I mean, we've had so much rain. The water just keeps coming up out of the ground. I was actually a little bit surprised that they ran on the turf yesterday, being that they have all these stakes races coming up. But nevertheless, I know we've got a lot to go by, so I'm just going to go ahead and start with my top three choices. And my top choice is the 10 Will Call. He's pretty consistent kind of horse. He got in a little bit of trouble last time out, and but I think that he's got a favorable post being outside. He can kind of just sit there and stalk. And but yesterday they weren't making up a whole lot of ground on the turf, but sprinting, you never know. And like I say, it is a bit of a crapshoot. So, and my second choice is the 4 horse Extravagant Kid, and he was actually, they vied together a couple of times there. And he's another consistent horse, but he has speed, so he'll probably have to come out of there running, being that he's down inside a little bit. But he's going to have a good chance to hold on. I think he's more of a if you get the right kind of trip kind of horse than anything else. His last two races have been very good though, even though one of them was a second place finish. And my third choice is the 8 horse, Undrafted. And he's kind of gotten a little bit off form, I know, but he likes this place. And I'm going to give, and he's 8 years old now. Is he eight?
Yeah, he's eight years old.
And I'm going to give the old boy another chance, and hopefully he can get a piece of it. He's been very good to Wesley and his owners, and I hope he runs well for him.
Interesting. You said yesterday horses weren't making up ground on the turf course. Completely opposite of what we typically see at Keeneland, where it can be difficult to go wire to wire on that course. Complete opposite of what we usually see.
And, you know, it's odd that, I mean, you would think that, okay, Keeneland's 1 16th circumference. But yet, if you go down to the head of the stretch and look where the quarter pole sits, it sits on the straightaway.
Yeah.
It's a very long stretch there, and that bodes well for closers, obviously. But yesterday it didn't seem to be that way. I know it's going to be warm again today, but I just don't think it's going to be a whole lot of change, but we'll see.
Steve, what do you think?
Touching on a turf course, I think that if you look historically, it does become speed bias when it gets some cut in the ground. And it wasn't just yesterday. You can go back and you can look over the years that when the turf course is yielding, soft, even good, but generally when it's more to the yielding soft side, it's very hard to catch horses, and it is the complete opposite. And you could watch the first race where Robbie Alvarado sent Dale Roman's horse at 15-1 straight to the front, and those two horses went the whole way, opened up, and nobody was closing. And it was like that the whole day. So something to pay attention to, and more so maybe in the route races than these 5.5. I don't know that it necessarily applies as much. But going to the Woodford, I actually liked a horse yesterday, or actually it was Wednesday night, called Holding Gold for Mark Cassie and John Velasquez. And one of the reasons I liked him was if you throw out his yielding and soft races over the turf course, is listed yielding and soft, he's a horse that it looks extremely live on anything other, except like a firm turf course, which he will not get today. So my angle for Holding Gold has gone against me with the rain. You know, I still think he's got a shot, but I would have liked him a whole lot more over a firm turf course. I'm going to stick with my guy, Buchero. He won this race last year, and he was 26-1, and I absolutely crushed him. As Simon Bray said on TVG yesterday, I had more tickets than a Greyhound bus driver, was a line Simon Bray used, which I thought was very good.
Good line.
So 26-1 yet last year, he won't be 26-1 this year, but he's handled the soft turf course. He likes Keeneland. He's consistent. $800,000 earner. He's 16-29 in the money. Buchero's always right there. He gets De La Cruz, who knows him very well, for Tim Glashaw. These two hook up extremely well, 21%. In 2017-18. So for me, Buchero is going to be my selection. Holding Gold, I might use a little underneath, but I'm going to key in again this year on Buchero.
Dude, this, regardless of how the turf course played yesterday, these 5.5 furlong turf sprints, not typically won by a horse that races on the lead. Usually it's a horse coming from a little further back. Is that how you see it, or do you think it could be playing to that bias, so to speak, that we saw yesterday?
Well, I don't know. I think in the turf sprints, I think speed horses are at a little bit of a disadvantage. And oftentimes that's a function of the pace. Because of the 5.5 furlong distance, a lot of horses with early speed enter. So they chew one another up on the front end, and somebody comes along and gets them late. You know, Buchero has a fantastic record at Keeneland. John mentioned Will Call, who looks very good. He'll be coming from off the pace. I'm kind of interested in Vici because he's kind of a presser, and I think he's got enough speed to stay in contention and maybe be able to gut something out at the end. I don't know if he has the same class that these other horses have, but I think he's going to get a great trip. And I like Tyler Gaffalione getting on him. Tyler rides a lot of turf sprints in Florida, so he's well versed in these short races and what you need to do to win them. But this is a very tough race. I mean, you'd hit the all button here if you were going to play a big ticket, because one horse breaks bad and the whole dynamic changes. Yeah. So these races are, I call them roulette wheels. You know, you don't know what number's going to come up. But I do like Vici a little bit, just as a maybe a sneaky kind of play.
Yeah, and you can tell the opinions from our three handicappers here on HRN this morning all over the map. So a wide open race to kick it off at Keeneland, the sixth race, the Grade 2 for 3:30 Eastern is the post, and we'll see who can pull off the victory in that one. That brings us to the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes, which is the first of four win-and-you're-in races here in the Bluegrass this afternoon. It's a win-and-you're-in for the Filly and Mare Sprint Division, and another big field, 10 horses set to go, and they'll sprint 6 furlongs on the main track. Your favorite, the morning line favorite anyways, is Miss Sunset, who is 3-1 on the morning line. Miss Sunset, trained by Jeff Fondi, ridden by Hall of Famer Mike Smith, and she'll break from post 3. Stevie, you want to take this one first?
Well, I think, Mike, as you say, Miss Sunset the 3 is the 3-1 favorite. Tells you all you need to know as far as how this race is. It's wide open, and it is a fantastic betting race. If you can get an opinion and feel good about it, there's definitely value to be had here with a lot of evenly matched fillies. Miss Sunset definitely won. That is probably the deserving favorite. She's razor sharp right now. Ships in from California. But she's done it successfully here before. She's run here twice. She has a win and a second. She's 4-5 at the distance. She actually won the Grade 2 Raven Run here in October of 17, and then came back and was second in the Grade 1 Madison behind Finley's Lucky Charm in the spring. She's got speed. She can stalk. I would think that she needed her last race. It was about a 3.5-month layoff. She's had 3 works. She looks ready. Big Money Mike comes in, and she'll be right there, I would think, the 3. Another filly, the 7, Golden Mischief. This filly has, she doesn't need to run over, she doesn't take her track with her, as they say. She has run at about 9 different racetracks. Brad Cox can do no wrong. Florent Giroux, and another tactical filly that's looking for her first Grade 1 stakes win. And, I think Golden Mischief is going to be right there. But the filly I'm going to close in on is the 9, Chalon. She was purchased by These Connections out of the Phasic Tipton November sale for $550,000. She's won 2 stakes in 3 starts. She was 2nd in the Grade 3 Vagrancy. She's been off since June, but Honor Delacour, very, very good off the layoff. This filly's got a string of good works over at Fair Hill. And I think Chalon's coming in very light. It gets Javier Castellano. And those 3 are the 3 I like, but I'm going to give a little lean to the 9, Chalon, on top.
All right. None of those horses expected to be big prices either. Miss Sunset, 3-1. Golden Mischief, 7-2. Chalon, 4-1 on the morning line. Johnny, how about you?
I think we touched on the three main contenders, in my opinion. And I just went in a little different order. I like Golden Mischief on top. She's got that nasty habit. She likes to win. She's 9 out of 20 and over $500,000. So, and her last 2 races were exceptionally good. Now, her last race at happened to be at Mountaineer the day she won. But, I mean, she didn't beat anything up there, but she did it obviously pretty easy. But her race, if she runs the race before that, the 2 back there that she ran at Prairie Meadows, she'll beat these by 100. So anyway, and the 3 horse, like I say, she deserves it. She's run very, like I say, she run well here. She's made almost 900,000. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, Miss Sunset. Yeah,
she's by the right horse. Well, actually, both these horses are by the same horse, by Into Mischief, who's turned out to be a super sire. And luckily, we got a few mares in foal to him, and a couple 2-year-olds too. But nice. Anyway, But and then in Chillon, I think she's in a good spot being there on the outside. She can kind of just sit around there and do whatever she's done. She has a lot of speed, but I think she can sit back if she needs to and maybe smoke them down. So I just went a little different order, 7-3-9.
Yeah, and you may not want to be the favorite in this race. Favorites not faring well over the past 20 runnings. Just four favorites winning in the past 20 runnings of the Thoroughbred Club of America. But you did have Finley's Lucky Charm, who was the favorite last year and got to the winner's circle. So we'll see. JT, what do you think?
Well, I'm seriously thinking about singling Miss Sunset just because you either single her or you have to spread to everybody's contenders that we've discussed. Miss Sunset, in her last five starts, she has 3 wins, 2 seconds. The 2 seconds were to Marley's Freedom and Finley's Lucky Charm, either one of whom would be favored in this race. I just think she's the best filly. She looks good on the racetrack. She shipped well, and why not just take the best horse and go on with it?
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll find out. The Thoroughbred Club of America, again, the first race you'll hear live with us on the network this afternoon. Coverage beginning 4 Eastern. 4:05 Eastern is the post for the Thoroughbred Club of America. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Grade 1 First Lady and the Grade 1 Claiborne Breeders Futurity. Don't forget, we're still going to look at the Shadwell Turf Mile. We'll do that a little bit later on in the second half of the show. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From Foaling Barn to Finish Line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And the field turns for home. It is Favorite Trick. The leaders, they come to mid-stretch. Under a hand ride beneath Pate, Favorite Trick. Now he says go, and Favorite Trick responds in an instant. He opens Dawson's up by 3.5 lengths. Dawson's Legacy, the Canadian second, Souvenir Coffee third. Here is an undefeated champion, Favorite Trick, and he ran like a champion today, winning by 5 and a pair of long shots, finishing second and third. Dawson's Legacy and National Lore.
How's that for a little trip down memory lane? The 97 running of the Breeders'... Well, actually, that was the Breeders' Cup, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But Favorite Trick did indeed win the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity before going on to take the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He was undefeated. He was voted Horse of the Year as a two-year-old that year. Man, was he really, really good. And he is the last horse to win both the Breeders' Futurity here at Keeneland and go on and win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We'll see. It's been a long time. We'll see if this year's winner can pull it off at Churchill Downs in just about a month from right now. We're going to talk about the Breeders' Futurity with John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, and the Pontiff of the Pick Four in just a minute. But want to remind you that you won't want to miss any coverage of the fall racing, including the Breeders' Cup, like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app, or have an email sent to you once a day, or you can listen on your Alexa device. All of those are free. All you have to do is go to bloodhorse.com/daily. And for weekly coverage, count on Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet. Right now, for a limited time, this is a cool deal, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Fall Special, which is 12 weekly issues for just $12. That's right, a buck an issue. Go to bloodhorse.com/fall18 to sign up. That's bloodhorse.com/fall18. All right, guys, the Grade 1 First Lady is the race preceding the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland today. So we'll start with that one. It's a mile on the turf. That turf may still have some give to it. As Johnny said, we've had an awful lot of rain in the area over the past several weeks. This is a win in your end for the Filly and Mare Turf Division and a field of 10, a very international field of 10 set to go. Johnny, go ahead.
Yeah, real interesting here. This is always, like I say, it's always been a really very good race, and this is no exception for sure. And this could be one of those races where the lawn doctor, Chad Brown, just like might take the first two or three finishes right here. Cause,
the lawn doctor,
and he's obviously got the first two favorites in there, and I think that they're going to be tough to beat. I really do. Kedura and Raving Beauty. I mean, and they're just, you know, and he's not bringing them in here for fun. And they've, you know, they're going to be tough to beat, no doubt about it, if they get any kind of trip at all. The interesting horse to me is Crown Walk, the four horse. I mean, she's coming over from Europe, and she's getting Lasix for the first time. And she was second in a Group One over there at last time out at Dovey, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of the question mark to me in this operation. But I'd love to see the seven horse Donna Bruja win it for Ignacio. I mean, he's a great guy, and he does a wonderful job with all his horses. But it's hard for me to get by the first couple of horses. I go with the 3-2, and then like I say, I hope the seven horse runs in there for third or fourth. But Crown Walk is the boogaboo question for me. If she's that good, then she might just take it all.
Yeah, the lawn doctor Chad Brown sending out three horses in here. As John mentioned, Kedura, the British bred 2-1 morning line favorite, A Raving Beauty, 3-1 second choice. And then he also has the Irish bred Off Limits, bit of a longer shot, 6-1 on the morning line. Stevie, what do you think? The Grade 1 First Lady, who wins it?
Chad Brown, probably.
Yeah, we should have a prop bet. Chad Brown or the field.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like used to be when Tiger was there. You take Tiger or you take the field.
Yeah. I mean, when you're entering for this race, are you just thinking, how many is Chad going to put in there? The answer's three. So, he's going to be tough. I mean, he's always tough. And look at the three that he's bringing. And it's not even that big of a field. How many are in there? Seven? How many are going in there? Seven?
Ten.
So he doesn't quite have a third of the field. But, my God, he's tough to beat. I'll try with Donna Bruja. Ignacio, he's a great guy. Jude's guy. I got John's guy. Chad's got three. Jude's guy's going to try to beat Chad. You know, what's interesting is I think Donna Bruja deserves a grade one win. And Ignacio's going to get it today, I think. This filly, she's yet to catch anything other than a firm turf course since she's arrived from Argentina. And yet in Argentina, it seemed all she ran on was a heavy racetrack. Now, I don't know what heavy in Argentina is compared to heavy over here, but
it's like a rice paddy.
It was heavy. But, you know, I don't think Donna Bruja is going to mind the cut in the ground. And, I mean, I'll try Donna Bruja to beat any one of Chad's three.
All right. How about for you, Jay? Is it Chad Brown or the field for you?
Well, I like my top selection is A Raving Beauty. I love the fact that John Velasquez is getting on this horse. It has nothing to do with Chad Brown other than the fact that he made a jockey switch. And I think this filly wants to be ridden patiently. And I think Irad sends this filly too much. I think Johnny's going to sit there, check his nails, and make one big run. That's what I think is going to happen. So I guess I'm in the Chad Brown camp for this race. I agree with John Gasper about Crown Walk. I'm interested because she's a three-year-old filly. She could have waited till next week.
Right.
But I think they have an eye towards the Breeders' Cup, which is why they have put Mike Smith on her. And I think this is a prep for maybe the Breeders' Cup distaff, or not the distaff, but the filly mare turf. Right. I think she's a quality filly, and I'm a little surprised. I mean, the QE2 is such a great race, but you know they obviously have a different plan, but I think she certainly has the quality to do it. She has a 108 racing post rating. She should be all right in there. And then Kidora was so good to me last time. She keyed a lot of bets for me at Saratoga when she won the Ballston Spa. And, you know, it's hard to leave her out. She's got a ridiculously massive turf figure for me. So I think she must be used too. But, you know, Ignacio's filly's 0-2 at Keeneland.
Yeah,
that scares me because horses don't like the Keeneland turf course. Right. And you might be right, Stevie. She might actually like some given the ground. The thing about the Keeneland turf course, it's sand-based. So when it gets wet, the base is actually firmer, you know. So they call it soft. Well, it might be soft, but actually the base is firmed up a little bit. And maybe that's why speed sticks better.
Yeah, well, she was fourth in the race a year ago at odds of 2-1, right? And she was only beaten 2.5 lengths that day, and that was on a firm turf course. And she's going to have a little give to that course today.
Yeah, well, Uriah St. Louis would tell you, you know, she has every right to win this race. And that's how he thinks, you know. He's an interesting guy. You know, she only got beat 2 lengths. Well, you can move up 2 lengths easy, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I think this is another one where it's wide open. I just thought the angle for me was Johnny V getting on A Raving Beauty.
Well, the fact that Ignacio is your man and the fact that Donna Bruja wasn't one of your selections now has me nervous, especially with the 0-2 Keeneland. They say your first thought is your best thought, so I'm not going to change my mind, but if I could, I'd go off Donna Bruja now because Jude's got me nervous, and I'd go with any one of the three of Chad's.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Donna Bruja.
I'll take any one of Chad's three.
Donna Bruja, by the way, switching. We talked about the rider switch with A Raving Beauty going to John Velasquez. Donna Bruja also getting a rider change, going back to Declan Cannon. Declan has done quite well. He won with Donna Bruja at Arlington last year in the Modesty and won the Mint Julep at Churchill aboard Donna Bruja as well. So he certainly knows her. She runs for him, and maybe a positive sign there too.
Yeah, and you know, it shows Ignacio's pulling out all the stops. Yeah. He obviously thinks he can win. He doesn't need my approval.
Declan's the difference maker.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and I'm going to tell you,
wouldn't that be cool if they ran 1-2, Johnny V and Declan? Yeah.
She could be like 10-1 too in here.
Yeah.
Because her last race is, you know, was kind of a stinker. But if you look at I don't know what happened. I don't remember exactly what happened. But I mean, you look at the rest of her form, and you look at that, it's completely different. And you look, and then you go over to the where it says wrangled back, jostled. So I don't know what happened in there, but obviously something did. And she was only 5-1 in the Beverly D.
Yeah,
you know, so you take that out of there, and I mean, she's got a chance.
Yeah, it's sure. a grade one. First Lady, 4:40 Eastern, race 8 at Keeneland this afternoon. Race 9 is the grade one Claiborne Breeders Futurity. Winning your end for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Division and a massive field. 14 horses set to go in the Breeders' Futurity. The favorite, 7-2 on the morning line. This is very much a Breeders' Cup type of betting race. 7-2 on the morning line. That is Mind Control for Greg Sacco and Hall of Famer John Velasquez. Stevie?
Well, I'm going to make it quick and easy for my selection is going to be Mr. Ankeny. Number 10, I am a part of the team that helps pick these horses out for the Albar Family Stable. Actually won this race with Brody's Cause and won this race with Free Drop Billy, and I'm looking to win it for the third time. Boy, we're glad Dale Romans is our trainer. What a great day he had yesterday. He won the first and promises fulfilled. What a gutsy, tough horse he is. And you know, this horse is doing great. He's out of a Smart Strike mare. Interestingly, you were talking to Pat Costello earlier, and Gabriel Dunigan Spider co-bred this horse. He also co-bred Brody's Cause. So we're going for our second as connections today. And, you know, I think that Robbie can get a good trip from where he is and maybe sit off any speed in there. I know one thing. We're glad a few of those running in the Champagne didn't come down here today because that race looks to me a whole lot tougher than this is. Not to say this isn't tough, but there are a few up there in New York today that could have walked in here and been 8-5.
Yeah, the stretch out here shouldn't hurt this horse either.
No, and you know, we like our spot, but we're also understanding that it's extremely tough to win any race here at Keeneland, much less three Claiborne Futurity. So, but that'll be my selection, Mr. Ankeny, and. Like I said, we wouldn't trade spots with anyone. We're thankful we have Dale and Robbie in our corner, and good luck to the Albar Family Stables.
All right, there you go. Johnny, what do you think?
I'm going to go for, you know, the two-year-old races are so, this time of year, horses improve so much from one start to the next. I mean, if you look at rag sheet numbers, I mean, you'll see a horse that might have run 20, and then he comes and runs a 14,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever. I mean, they just, you know, why did, I mean, like, for instance, Moonster ran a 21 his first start, okay, at Ellis Park. Then he comes back and runs a 12. I mean, that's a huge improvement. Now, most of these horses have not been around two turns. There's only a couple that have. You know, Churchill obviously is a mile, and it's a straight, it's a one-turn mile. So whether that'll come into play or not, I don't know. But I think that, like I say, I think I could go for about anybody in here. I could go, if some three-year-old kid gave me a story, I'd probably go for it, you know, because I think it's pretty wide open. But I'm going to go for a horse that I thought earlier in the year was going to be a pretty good horse, and that's the 8-horse Tobacco Road. He's a quality road. I think he didn't run terrible last time. He was maybe a little disappointed, but he's going to be – probably 12-15-1. Asmussen, Corey Lannery. Corey does always, he's won two races on him. The only two times he's ridden him. So I'm going to give him, just because, like I say, it's a huge field, I'm going to give him a kind of a long shot price. I think I'll, you know, put him in there with the rest of the other one. The other horse I like is Chad's horse is he's been wanting to go two turns with this horse. And if you notice up at Saratoga, day one, he was 2-5. I mean, this is a good horse here.
Yep.
I mean, he's a really good horse. And, you know, what they're doing, he's obviously, instead of keeping him at New York, he wanted to get two-turn race into him for Churchill. So I think at 10-1, he won't be 10-1. He'll probably be 3-1 or something, I would guess, even though he's completely on the outside. But this is a good horse right here.
It's number standard, 14.
Number 14, yeah.
Standard deviation.
Yeah, right? He's a good horse.
Nothing good comes of deviation, by the way.
Right.
Nothing good comes out of the 14 hole.
Well, Good Magic did last time, didn't he? Wasn't he 14 in the bluegrass?
I don't know.
That's he was way question. He was way out there.
Check it out, research department on that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I would have to. We'll do that during the next commercial.
He might have been 11. He was way out there though.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I understand that, you know, that it's not a mile and an eighth, it's only a mile and 16th as opposed to the bluegrass, but this horse here is a pretty nice horse and he's going to run very well today even though he's on the outside. And I don't know, the third horse just take your pick. I don't know. I just
all.
Oh yeah.
Hit the all button.
I mean, it's just like a, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, well, what happens too is like, say, you know, these horses, most of them only run a couple of times, 2-3 times. Horse gets off bad, gets shuffled back in the first turn. It's over. You know, they can't recover.
And that's a very good point. As John likes to say, there'll be one winner and 13 that could have or should have won.
Yeah.
And it will definitely be, you'll need some racing luck today in this one.
Yeah. So, no doubt about it. JT, Dale Romans has 3 horses in the Breeders' Futurity. Dale or the field?
I'll take the field. I do like Stevie's horse. He's a fast horse. I think, you know, Mind Control, he's in the 13 hole. I don't think that's going to bother him too much because he's a speed horse anyway. And I think Johnny's going to have to assert him coming out of there. So I'm banking that Johnny's going to get a good trip with this horse. He's run 2 Brisnet speed figures in the 90s. Par for this level is 98, by the way. Nobody in the field is a 98 yet. But I do think Mind Control has the best shot of being one coming out of this race. And I continue to let Kenny McPeak haunt me with Signal Man after his eloquent speech on Wednesday night about how good this horse was doing.
Yeah.
And I realize Kenny is like brimming with confidence right now. I mean, he's like a Roman gladiator going out to fight. His chest is all pumped up. His posture is different. I mean, in his mind, he can't saddle a loser. And I love that attitude. You don't see that all the time. And I've known Kenny a long time. I can't believe how pumped up he is right now about his stable, and rightly so. We saw what he did yesterday. So I'm thinking, you know, if you're looking for a horse that might have a good chance, he said this horse is beautiful. He's by General Quarters, who was a big, strong horse. He blew out in 47.
Bluegrass Stakes winner, too, by the way.
Yeah. And he's got Brian Hernandez on him, and he's 15. I think he's 15-1 on the morning line. He's going to get some money from me somewhere. I don't know. I'll probably screw it up with an exacta or something, but I mean he's an interesting horse to me.
If he beats Mr. Ankeny in the head to head, he's going to get some money from me too, Jude. I believe it was part of a $200 head to head wager.
That's right. That's right too.
I asked him last night if my credit was good or if I needed to bring it with me if I got beaten the head to head. He said your credit's good.
Yeah, you put us on the hook for that, man. It was like 100 from me, 100 from Jude, if I recall. Yeah, we got thrown under the bus. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to another break. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the Shadwell Turf Mile, and time allowing, we should be able to get to the Champagne at Belmont as well. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Once again, among the world's leading sires of stakes horses and graded stakes horses, Warfront has sired 8 champions and 8 millionaires. Recent Grade 1 winners include European champion U.S. Navy Flag and Lancaster Bomber, plus an ever-growing list of 2018 graded stakes winners. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to bring prices well over $1 million. International super sire Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Stuart Morris offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team.
Their success is because of you.
Henley's Joy gets up just in time.
And our Brain Trust gets up on the rail to win.
Malagasy to win the Rebel.
With 10 two-year-old winners already in 2018 and multiple stakes place horses over the past 3 years, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Be sure to visit the Stuart Morris consignment in Barn 35 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
At the 16th pole, it is Rocketry in the clear. Rocketry is pulling away from your to blame. Rocketry wins the Temperance Hill.
Rocketry, the 4-year-old son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun, made his first career try on dirt, a winning one, taking the listed Temperance Hill Invitational Stakes at Belmont on Sunday, breaking Man O' War's 98-year-old track record for a mile and 5/8 on dirt, earning a lifetime best 100 fire speed figure. That sensational effort makes Rocketry your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Dan Zig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. No stallion standing for less than $60,000 can top Hard Spun's 7 Grade 1 winners since 2012. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Top of the stretch, heart to heart, the leader by a length. Aum is second. Bala Rocks looks for some running room in third toward the inside. Frostmourne in fourth. Into the final furlong of the Makers 46 mile. Heart to heart leads it by 2.5 lengths to Bala Rocks. Aum between horses. Frostmourne then Forge. Heart to heart. In front by 3 lengths. Heart to heart wins it. For Julian Leperoux, Bala Rocks was home second, a multiple horse photo for third, 1 minute 34 and 3/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Our good friend and colleague, Kurt Becker, with the call of the Makers 46 Stakes at Keeneland in April, heart to heart getting the victory that day, heart to heart second in last year's Shadwell Turf Mile. Looking to rebound and get to the winner's circle later today. He's the morning line favorite at 7-2. Again, that race part of our coverage, 4-6 Eastern here on the network. Sirius 219, XM 201, affiliates, Lexington, Louisville, and across the country and worldwide on your computer or mobile device with our streaming at horseracingradio.net. We're going to talk about that race and the Champagne momentarily, but want to remind you that the 81st running of the Pattison Canadian International, now less than 2 weeks away. On Saturday, October 13th, Woodbine will feature some of the most prestigious turf and stakes races, including the Grade 3 Ontario Derby, the Grade 2 Nearctic Stakes, the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor, and of course, that Pattison Canadian International. You'll want to be sure to take advantage of large guaranteed pools in the Pick 4s and Pick 5s at Woodbine that day, plus a special cross-country wager with Woodbine and Keeneland. For more information, just go to woodbine.com. All right, guys, what do you think? The Grade 1 Shadwell Turf, 14 horses plus 2 also eligibles, will be the largest field that we've ever seen in the Shadwell Turf. When in, you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile. Johnny, take it first.
In Chad, we trust.
Chad well, Brown and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Almanar, I guess that's where you pronounce his name. I mean, he was second last time out in the to Robert Bruce in the Arlington Million. He runs that race back. It's like, good night. I mean, he's awesome, that horse is. And, I mean, I don't think it matters what the turf is on him. He's going to take care of it. He did it over in Europe. He did run bad on a soft turf, but I don't think it's going to really matter here too much. I think he's got enough class where he's going to be tough. But my second choice is Voodoo Song for Linda Rice. And if it plays the turf plays like it did yesterday, then he's going to be a little bit tough to beat himself. I don't know what happened the other day, and neither does Linda. It looked like it was his race to lose, which he obviously lost up at Saratoga in the Bernard Baruch. Then he was 3-5 and was in front and kind of cruising and just kind of chunked it in. But since then, I mean, he seems like he's come back and done okay. So she's bringing him down here, so I got to give him a chance. And then my third choice is another Chad horse, Analyze It. He's a horse that's been very consistent. He's going to be up on the pace. He's going to be a little closer. And Catholic Boys beat him ahead in the neck in two starts. So you got to respect that. And even though he's a 3-year-old running against these older horses, he gets Johnny V, and Jude's man there, and that never hurts you either. I mean, you got two guys that. Or probably two of the best riders in New York, Johnny Velasquez and Javier. I mean, they're two of the, and they both ride the turf exceptionally well. So my top choice would be 11. I'll go 11, 10, 9 in the Shadwell.
All right, Chad Brown. Chad or the field. We should name a horse Chad or the field. Yeah. 14 letters, right? Boom. Chad or the field.
Chad. Basically, I'm going to go. I like Chad, but I like the other horse. I like Analyze It, the 3-year-old. I think the cutback to a mile will help this horse. And if you look in the spring, he won the Grade 3 Transylvania by 5.5 lengths. That just happened to be over a yielding Keeneland turf course. His battles with Catholic Boy were fantastic. You talk about two dead game horses. But I think that Analyze It is not the easiest ride. He has a tendency to hit the front, kind of wait on horses, and that may have cost him a couple times against Catholic Boy. As Jude, it's like deja vu. How about this? The switch from Jose Ortiz to John Velasquez, Chad, Analyze It, similar to the filly in the First Lady. But I'm going to take Analyze It on top. And for a second, I'm going to use the other Chad horse. Analyze It on top, the other Chad horse in second.
All right.
Chad.
Pontiff?
Well, I'm going with Kieran McLaughlin. I'm going to take Curbon. This horse won first time out in the United States, Saratoga. The Bernard Baruch, Grade 2, ran a great race. He can finish. I think he can handle the turf course. He's a son of Spitestown. I just think he's looking towards the Breeders' Cup. Mike Smith again on him. Irod off, Mike Smith on. Looking for the Breeders' Cup Mile.
Mike Smith guy will be good when he figures it all out. That guy's going to be all right.
He might be okay.
Yeah, he's going to be okay.
When he grows up.
He's going to be okay. Hall of Fame career ahead of that guy.
Two live horses for Shadwell in there, huh?
Yeah.
Amanar and Corban.
Guys, yep. We literally have about 45 seconds here. Quick picks on the champagne. Johnny, who's your top pick?
I'm going to go with Karen up there, endorsed. I thought that horse was very impressive. He just barely, I mean, he didn't win by far, but I think, but he ran very, very well. And I thought he was very impressive looking horse, and he's by the right horse too, Medaglia d'Oro.
Stevie?
Shug McGahey, 8 Code of Honor. Anytime Shug can win a 6-furlong maiden race first time out by a tough stallion in Noble Mission, I like the stretch out Code of Honor, the 8 Code of Honor for Shug McGahey.
Pontiff?
Yeah, I'm a Code of Honor man myself, but don't fall asleep on Trophy Chaser. He might be a freak, that horse.
All right. Well, it's been a busy, busy show. I want to thank both of our guests, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, for coming in studio. Guys, unfortunately, the only day of the meet we're going to be able to do this, we're on the road the next 3 weekends here on the network. So we won't be around. But, Johnny, really appreciate you coming in. And, Stevie, you too. But, John, thanks, bud.
Okay. You're welcome. Everybody have a good time today. And go early because it's going to be crowded.
It's going to be crowded. It's going to be hot.
Gonna be hot out there today. I appreciate you guys letting us come back every meet, and if nothing else, to keep the streak alive. So appreciate you guys. Do a great job. Good luck on the road, and we'll see everybody out at the racetrack.
All right, gonna be a fun afternoon. Don't forget our coverage for Eastern here on the network. Gonna tell you more about that when we come back. One final break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake D-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time grade one winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic Mind Your Biscuits, finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Philip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Racing fans, join us for world-class racing over the three-day holiday weekend at Santa Anita and play the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 with a $1 million jackpot pool guaranteed this Saturday and Sunday. Our main event on Saturday is the Grade 1 Santa Anita Sprint Championship, and we'll also have a $100,000 speakeasy for two-year-olds at 5 furlongs on turf in the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile. First post time all weekend is at 12:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first crop of Gainsway sired yearlings selling up to $1.35 million and a Keeneland September Book 1 average of $498,000. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire with 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Amaliant and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Our thanks to all of our guests for being with us here this morning on the program. Jim Goodman from Keeneland, Nick Luck from NBC Sports, Pat Costolo, Paramount Sales, Michael Hernan couldn't make it, so we had John Gasper, Steve Castagnola here in the second half of the show. And very busy program. Took a look at a lot of action around the country. We're back this afternoon, 4 Eastern, 4 to 6, with our coverage of all the Win and You're In action from Keeneland. We'll also include the Champagne as part of that broadcast. You can listen to us on our affiliates in Lexington and Louisville and across the country. You can tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, the same channels you're listening to right now. Or you can listen to us worldwide on your computer, your mobile device, phone, whatever it might be. You can stream us at horseracingradio.net. That coverage this afternoon presented by Red Brand Fence and Breeders' Cup, as is our coverage tomorrow, by the way, JT, which is 5 o'clock Eastern. That Grade 1 Spinster, part of the coverage tomorrow. Anthony Stabile will handle the duties. That coverage presented by Red Brand and is also, let's see, no, it's on a different Sirius XM channel tomorrow. You'd have to tune in to Sirius XM 93, 5 to 6 Eastern tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, baseball's wreaking havoc with the schedule.
Lots of baseball. I tried to stay up for the Yankees and the Red Sox. I didn't get much sleep the night before. I made it. The Yankees had bases loaded in like the sixth, and then I after they didn't score with the bases loaded, I had to go to bed.
Packed it in.
Well, had to be fresh for today. We got horse racing today.
That's right.
Yankees, Red Sox tonight. Steelers tomorrow.
Right.
The mighty Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right. And how about those Bengals?
Nobody cares. We'll handle them next week, but right now we got to take care of Atlanta. Should be a lot of fun and a huge weekend of horse racing, huge weekend of sports. It's a good time to be a sports fan right now, a good time to be a racing fan. Did have some responses to our poll question finally after I begged people to weigh in on the lamest poll question ever posted Fluminense, a horse that somebody's looking to bet on, bound for nowhere in the Shadwell Turf. Code of Honor in the Champagne, and somebody saying they're looking forward to hearing Kurt Becker's calls at Keeneland. So are we.
Yes, we are.
You concur.
Oh, I heard him yesterday, so.
All right. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey handling all of our social media for us, for Jude Feld, and for all of our guests, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. We're back this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern on the network. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.